Hello and welcome to the Kylo Show. I'm Brittany Serple.
I'm Ben Serple.
And I'm Danny Silk. And somehow we're all related.
This one sit between us.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are having Ben join us again because we are still doing this parenting series.
Always honored to be on the Kylo Show.
Uh-huh. Thanks for coming. If you're watching it, it looks a little different, which we've said that before in the last two episodes, but we kind of have our Imperfect Parenting podcast on display because Ben and I do that on the regular. So if you're looking for more parenting tips, that's all we talk about over there. That and marriage sneaks in there quite a bit. We have our friend Seth Dahl. He joins us once a month, so it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But we listened to your need and your cry for parenting help from our Kylo Show survey that we sent out. And so that is why we have had Ben join us and are talking about parenting.
Yep.
So we're diving into kind of the teen years where they have hit puberty and they are on the run.
Mm-hmm. Something's changing.
Something has changed. So much so, your house probably feels different if you've got a bunch of teenagers. Yeah. We are right on the line. We had one teenager. I don't know how the lineup exactly worked on our household, but it did. We had one. And then we have two that are almost there.
Yeah, there.
Almost there. So it's about to be probably smellier.
That's begun already.
It's true.
So before we dive into this changing season of teen years, something we love to do on the Imperfect Parenting podcast is we love to share memes. Mm-hmm. I think this is some thing, tradition that Seth and Brittany have done for a long time. And
it's true.
We thought we'd bring it today as well. If you caught the last two episodes we've been doing, we did that here. So here we go. I'm going to read it real quick.
Okay.
And it's, yeah. If you need a tissue, little tear drops down. We get it. We understand. So my teen really likes me unless I ask her to do anything, give her advice of any kind, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, or breathe the wrong way.
Yeah.
It sometimes feels very true.
Yeah.
So we're all a little sensitive.
We're a little sensitive. A
little emotional. I was laughing at the other day. I was asking you something about wardrobe or like something. I don't know. And I picked the opposite. And you go, this is what happens when I ask the girls. I know that whatever I say, they're just going to pick the opposite.
I just pick one so you can have a choice. With a black one. I'm wearing the white one. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. That it could be helpful.
That's true. So as we dive into these teens, you know, teens today, they're facing a bit of a different world than I think even you and I had. That's for sure.
I think every generation says that to their teenagers.
Sure. I guess the world's evolving.
Changing world.
Mm-hmm. It is. But the thing that is unlike anyone else is that there's never been the world at its fingertips quite like this. Mm-hmm. That's a new one. I mean, I laugh at all these. I follow these millennial memes and they talk about the 90s and this and that. And Anne and I were like, remember GAC? And we were laughing at GAC, this thing we used to have as a kid. And then she said something else. And the other two girls in our office are 10 years younger than us or close to that. And they're like, what was that? And so Anne and I were just laughing at, oh, here's that moment where our differences of age are put on display of something you don't remember. But I just think about our kids that now have the internet like never before, phones that are a lifeline in their mind. Like they cannot function without them. Friends have become, I think friends have always been a thing that we would promote and advocate for, but adding the social media piece, adding the availability that they're constantly available. Like before, you just have to pick up the phone on the wall with the cord and hope that they were home. And if they weren't, then they weren't. And that was it. But now you're like, you text them and they find you. I think the dynamic even around friends have changed because of how available people are to tend to your emotions or needs. And then the world's culture has, I don't even know really what to say. It's just gotten...
Don't get me started.
Yeah, we won't. So back to the beginning. Like teens, we now have teens that are fighting things. And with the internet comes porn. I mean, there's just so many things. So how do we help our parents of teenagers not feel discouraged, but really have the courage that's needed to lead in this season and stay connected when our kids need it most?
Well, no matter what situation that we're facing, what generation, what forces are at work, you know, the devil has always been as wicked as he is right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the Lord has always been as powerful and loving as he is now. So that's not changed.
Yeah.
So we get to you know, dig into our true foundation and go to work to control the only person we've ever had any hope of controlling, and that's ourselves. Yeah. So what are we going to do with us when faced with the perils that we see our children managing? Like, well, that, you know, I can't imagine any generation. I mean, can you imagine going from a world that had no electricity to electricity?
You know, no.
Yeah. Or from
we just stand in houses.
From horses to cars, you know, yeah. Or from you just kind of what ginormous technological advance made your childhood and your entire life experience irrelevant to what the world your child was going into. Like that, I don't know that that's not a thing that has happened throughout human history. So it's just getting more accelerated and getting way more scary, AI, and I'll just stop there. How do I prepare you for that? Well, I prepare you for that by showing you what a well-put-together, self-controlled, loving, Christ-like human looks like.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to have to take with you in whatever it is that you're going into.
Yeah. I think the thing that shows up even louder in these teen years especially is the world culture wants to break into the family culture. And the thing that's put on display is peer pressure. So our kids are experiencing peer pressure, which means I have to have a phone at this age. I have to have this at this age. I can do A, B, and C because all my friends are doing it. And I think when the world culture starts to be the thing that sets the culture for our home, that's backwards. Like that should not be the thing. Like just the force you're describing, the enemy's tactics haven't changed. But if we don't see it, we think we're being loving by giving in to the teenage peer pressure out there that's telling our children what they should be thinking, feeling, wearing, having. So I think all these things is if we don't make a plan for the culture of our home as early as possible and then practice that and protect it, then something else is going to do it for us. And these teen years, it just gets louder. So that's over and over again. And we had to learn the hard way. And because of that, we're doing a better job. But yeah.
I love the, you know, I only control myself and I want to put on display the best version of what God's called me to for you. So you've got something to aim at and hopefully surpass because you're doing a better job than I was. But that is a lot of responsibility for parents. And I don't know that parents really grasp how much that's theirs to own. So, because I think about this and a lot of parents are drowning in the, do they get a phone? Do they not get a phone? It's the million little choices of, what can I say yes to? What should I not say yes to? Rather than looking at themselves as a leader, as a person who's trying to put on display, especially at this age, this is what you're aiming for as something desirable too. Like that's the hard part. It's like I think a lot of Christian homes shove down, this is what you have to do, and they think that they're showing, look at this, I'm so happy. Look at me, I'm so happy. And the kids are like, are you lying to yourself? Because you are not so happy. Yeah. So how do you wrestle through that dynamic? Because I think that's what I walk into a lot of times with parents.
Yeah. I never took the time to find my happy. I never took the time to find my design, my power, my love, my joy. I as a parent never took the time to own responsibility for that. I've always blamed something out there, which is what I'm going to pass on to my kids. I'm going to pass on that I'm a victim. I'm a victim to all these powerful forces out there, and here's how you keep making excuses for why you're not happy, why you're not full of joy, why you're not connected and loving and in a community of people that would give their life for each other. Here's the reason. Here's all the reasons why I live isolated, alone, and addicted to something. Mm. That's that. If that's what you live, that's what you have to pass on. So if you're going to change the culture of your children's family, it starts with yours, and they have to understand that. Okay, what's most important here is our loving connection with each other, our self-control, how we use our freedom. I remember when I was little, some kids just went ape if they had red Kool-Aid. If you had red Kool-Aid, you were out of control. And there was sugar in it. You were just the Tasmanian devil. You were just... So these kids could not have Kool-Aid. Everybody else can have Kool-Aid. They could not have it. And we all knew, like, don't keep them away from that Kool-Aid. And if that was your family member, everybody was diving on top of the Kool-Aid like it's a grenade. Like, don't let them have the Kool-Aid. That should be the same response that we have for access to the internet. If your access to the internet makes you a banana to deal with, you should not have access to it. Just carte blanche, just every single time, no exceptions. This is how this goes. If you don't care about the rest of this family, cannot participate in the rest of this family, do not take care of your relationships with the rest of this family because of that sewer leaking into your heart, you don't have access to it.
Yep. That's a hard concept, I think, for parents of the grass to set that hard of a line. And I'm going to probably step on toes because I think it's such a place of convenience that we just give away to our kids. Like, it's just convenient. I make all these reasons why they should have it, it's not that big of a deal. It's just like we just come up with all these excuses because it's so much more convenient for me if you have a phone because then I can find you. But the other side of this is that we live super disconnected. We live broken and we live hurting. And I justify it because I feel comfortable.
Yeah. And then so you have to take responsibility for what you fought to protect about your family. Mm-hmm. And if I fought to protect my ease,
convenience,
then that's what your kids are going to fight to protect. They're going to fight to protect their ease.
Yeah, that's a hard one to swallow because I think that's the one of the things that's a lot of parents that I have with teenagers are tired, and so at this point there's like. They lack vision. They're exhausted. They don't want to fight. They're just waiting for them to leave. But then on the other side is when I have those same parents with their adult teenagers that then have kids, they're begging for a relationship that they didn't seem to want to steward here.
Yeah. Well, this is credit card debt. You know, it's like I want this now, and I just want you to know that that's going to be a giant sacrifice coming your way later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's super harsh, but the good news is you have to manage you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to change the planet. Right now you're working on just making the planet happy so you can have some peace instead of finding your happy and living from a place that says, here's what I need. going forward, this is what I need. You want to be connected to me, and or you want access to what I have, mm-hmm. then you're going to have to learn how to protect your connection to me, because being connected to me brings great advantage to your life. Mm-hmm. Let me start with Wi-Fi password. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me follow it up with a ride to wherever you're going. Let me follow that up with the shoes that you wanted. Let me follow that up with, you know, and it goes on and on and on and on. If you want access to my stuff, pretty much is what is in the bottom line, then it's going to take a relationship with me. Mm-hmm. And if I learn how to manage people's relationships with me, you know, like what it takes to access me, the boundaries of this, the truth and conversation and the ownership, I will begin to be surrounded by higher quality relationships every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll be so happy I did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It almost sounds like, to say it, probably the same thing you're saying but a different way, is that the relationship standard you're holding with these teenagers especially is the doorway to the independence and freedom they so want. And the flip side of that is what Brittany's talking about, is this ease or this convenience thing. We think they're experiencing the same freedom and independence, but they're just out of control. So which feels like how the Lord does it. You know, that it's for freedom that Christ set us free. That there's this experience of freedom that only comes through that relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. That freedom isn't I get to do whatever I want. Freedom is I am doing a great job controlling me to protect us. Mm-hmm. And that feels like the lesson that we really want to farm out to our kids.
Yeah, by living it, mm-hmm. by requiring that if you want access to me, it starts with being respectful. Yeah. Hmm. I'll be glad to have a conversation with you as long as it's respectful. If it's disrespectful, I won't be participating in the conversation.
Hey, Ben and Brittany Serple here.
So every parent from the beginning of time has discovered that kids don't come with a manual. Parenting is a learning journey from the beginning to the very end, and it's full of lessons, challenges, questions, mistakes, and lots of messes. One of the biggest reasons so many of us get scared, discouraged, and overwhelmed as parents is we think the goal of parenting is to be perfect parents who raise perfect children, which leads us to move towards a fear-driven strategy that focuses on avoiding messes and use control and punishment to change their behavior.
This is why we created the podcast Imperfect Parenting, to talk about the true goal of parenting, a safe, loving, heart-to-heart connection with our kids as we guide them on their own journey to becoming healthy, confident, and emotionally intelligent. Seth Dahl joins Ben and I to bring you the tools you need to be fully engaged in the journey of building a healthy, connected family culture where your children can thrive.
So, if you're a parent, join us for some laughter, relatable stories, solutions to those tough questions, and insights into the challenges we all face on this parenting journey.
You can listen by searching Imperfect Parenting on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. We'll see you there. You're talking earlier about access to all these different things. It reminds me of the tools. The only things that we control are permission, opportunity, and resources, mm-hmm. which are, I think, with a teenager, that's what I remember just trying to gauge everything that I was warring up against or struggling with her, you know, in that season was, okay, permission, opportunity, resources. Where does this fall in this category? Because I want some control, mm-hmm. and I want to control you, but I can't control you. I can control me. I need some peace. I need to feel safe. So I mean, that was kind of my... In through my mind, that's what I'm racing through, is I'm scared, so my scared response wants to control you. I can't control you. I can't choose those choices for you in your heart of hearts, in your mind. I can't control any of that. So going back to, okay, what do I control? I control permission, opportunity, and resources. So you still live in my house. I still give you money for gas. You know, I mean, it's literally just all these little pieces. The computer you have is one that I purchased. I mean, I just start going through, okay, what am I afraid of? And then where does it fall in this category so that I can actually feel like I have a plan and feel empowered to walk this out with, you know, a dialogue of, hey, feel free to have your computer. As soon as I figure out you have a plan of how you're going to help me feel safe and respected, because so far I'm feeling scared every time I open the door to say goodnight to you at 10 p.m. because whatever you're watching or doing scares me. You know, I just remember walking through trying to figure out where does it fall in out of those categories to help me feel like I had something to do rather than just try and go and control her with her behavior that was scaring me.
Yeah, I mean, if I have, the habit of controlling your eyeballs, you know, and controlling your fingertips, then I feel out of control all the time. So what is it that is scaring me so bad that makes me want to control you like that? Oh, it's that thing, your phone, your laptop, your access to the internet, whatever it is. Well, that'll be in a safe at the bottom of the ocean.
Never until, to return.
Until you convince me that our respectful connection is so important to you that you will control yourself. And if you can't, you'll tell me, I can't control myself with that. I cannot handle that level of freedom. Mm. Please, let's find another way to stay in constant contact, which all of a sudden has become, you know, the only way that we can function is if we know where everybody is all the time and I can say, where are you right now? Like, that is a now thing. That has not ever been part of humanity. Right. You know, all of a sudden, like, it's not like air. We've always had to have air, but all of a sudden, I got to know where everybody is all the time instantly. Like, that's not real.
No.
But it's become, like, we can't function without it. I forgot my phone the other day at home, and I was like.
I forgot like, it, too.
Nobody could. You forgot my phone?
I forgot my phone.
Oh, you go, yeah. I was just like, I don't even care. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just start leaving my phone. I'm just going to, I'm getting to that age where I just don't care about a lot of what people think. And this is starting to feel like freedom. Like, I'm going to leave my phone at home. You want something? Mail me a letter. That's how we used to do it. You know? I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to be home in X time. I'll see everybody I know between work and home.
It's true.
If it's urgent, send me a fax.
Yeah, yeah. Well, text one of the 100 people around me with a phone.
We gave this challenge away to our young marriage group, and they were laughing at how will the babysitter know how to get a hold of us? I'm like, well, the restaurant probably has a phone.
Yeah,
it was just funny. So just to touch on the, like, if I set a hard boundary, like what you were talking about, and going back to the things I control, permission, opportunity, resources, some parents feel like that is punishment. How is that discipline rather than punishment? And I think establishing the difference between the two of them and even the heart behind the two of them.
Well, you know, when I'm controlling myself, I'm not punishing you. When I'm trying to control you through suffering and pain, then I am trying to control you. I am punishing you. When I tell you, you can have access to what I control under these circumstances, then I am building an agreement with you. Mm-hmm. You want this, you'll pay that for it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, if I go to the grocery store, well, these days I feel punished, but, you know, it's not a punishment that I have to pay money for what's in that grocery store. That's my agreement. When I walk in there, I have agreed, in order to have access to what you guys control, I will give you what you're asking. That's what I'm doing in a relationship with my child, is I'm saying, here's what it takes for you to have access to my life. You know, who may ascend the holy hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's what it costs to go into and access the presence of God. If I have a bunch of unforgiveness in my heart, the Lord says, I won't forgive you. If that's how you're going to live, you and I have a problem. Forgive.
Yeah.
And so I forgive so that I can have access to his presence and really what he controls. But is he punishing me by requiring that I get rid of unforgiveness? No. He's just helping me elevate. Mm-hmm. He's helping me improve the quality of my existence here. Same thing. I'm not punishing. You hang on to that terrible attitude you got, and I'll keep the Wi-Fi code. You hang on to that bitterness you have towards your sister or towards me or whoever. You hang on to that, and I'll hang on to that ride that you're after.
Yeah.
You take your time.
Yeah. Totally. I think a lot of times teenagers get the rap for being rebellious. Mm-hmm. And we referenced in one of the other sessions, I don't know which ones, but just that it's more of a harvest day. Mm-hmm. Than a rebellious teenager. What does that mean?
Well, a functional system is I can get my needs met participating in this system. So if you know, we have indoor plumbing, I can go to the faucet and get a glass of water. And that's a functional system. I need water. A dysfunctional system is I run a hose to the neighbor's house, down the hill, into the window of our house. I'm stealing water from the neighbor's house because our plumbing doesn't work. But I figured out a way to get my need met. That's dysfunction.
Yeah. Mm.
So when I need respect, I need leadership, I need love, I need safety, I need attention, and I can't get that in our dynamic, then I, as a teen, I will go find it. Hmm. And I'll end up scaring you, mm-hmm. the way I went and what I went and found. But because it wasn't available in our relationship, I'll go get a hose off the neighbor's house and I'll run it in through my bedroom window. And you didn't know that I had water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you call that rebellion and I call that survival.
Hmm. And the harvest day part as well is the thing you're alluding to, Danny, is the culture that we've been practicing for so long. Mm-hmm. That this child at this point in their development realizes, I'm never going to get this need met unless something changes, mm-hmm. in this dysfunctional environment. So,
and I'm so surprised that you stole water. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How dare you? I told you to not steal. You know, it's just this kind of deal. Like, how dare you be as disrespectful to me as I've been all these years to you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Which is a really hard pill to swallow for parents.
Ooh, it's brutal.
But this is the only place change happens, right? To go, yes.
Yeah.
I was a contributor, actually the leader in that culture. This doesn't change unless we start doing some work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, we've got some spiritual realities around disrespect. I mean, the Bible tells us that, you know, children will be disrespectful. I mean, there's that whole list. I forget all the places that this shows up, but I think Timothy is one of them where it describes this is what things are going to look like. And one of them is children will be disrespectful to their parents. You're like, yeah. Division is part of the Antichrist spirit. So we have to be that much better at unity. Mm. You know, we have to be that much better at love. Love is what casts out this Antichrist spirit. But if we fight fire with fire, we just get a bigger fire. If we fight fear with fear, we just get more fear. Mm-hmm. You know, when we declare a global war on terror, like, okay, guess what we're doing? We are propagating, making it so easy to scare everybody.
Right. I think about, you know, the moments where we were most afraid in Delaney's teen years. And it was a season. It was a couple, it felt like nearly 2 years of just staying the course, really. It's like, okay, we will continue on our march, and it doesn't feel like we're winning, but which was a lot of controlling ourselves, mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, remembering what we are investing in, what we are partnering with, and, you know, permission, opportunity, resources. This is our family culture setting. I mean, it just felt like every day was a battle in some of those moments. But to your point, Dad, is the when we locked arms with really the Holy Spirit and didn't look at all that she was doing and manifesting as, you know, who she was, who God created her to be, or even rebellion, but just could see like there is a spiritual war also on display here. And I can cower to it, I can try and fight it with its same spirit, or I can bring in the Holy Spirit and remain hopeful, remain full of truth, and really practice kind of some support system in the goodness of God. And I remember crazy moments of parenting with her where she'd be talking to me and she'd be trying to, you know, get her a yes from me, and she had all the right things she was saying because she's grown up in a home that has good communication skills, and she's doing all the make you feel good moments. And it was just a season where I couldn't really believe her, but I didn't know how to trust my own judgment because I'm like, I feel like how many times have I said yes and you've hurt my heart? And I just remember that season of completely surrendering to the Lord, and I just asked the Holy Spirit to come. And it sounds weird, it sounds crazy, but all I remember is sitting there in these moments, and I would feel like I had this screen above her head of all the real things that were she was not telling me that were going on. And so I could just be like, okay, Lord, you're showing me this spiritual warfare that is on display. Mm-hmm. And you're giving me permission to partner with you and use this authority to speak to that. And I remember just saying, you want to try that again? Because I know that you're lying because of this, this, and this. And I didn't know any of those things. I knew none of those things. But it was just the presence of God in that moment and being willing to partner and surrender. He would come. He would answer. I would have this almost encounter. It was the weirdest encounter. I still don't even know how to put it into words. It's not like my normal encounters with the Holy Spirit, but it was probably the most beautiful example of partnership that the Lord has for us when it comes to parenting. And I just remember calling out exactly what she was lying about, and she was just as shocked as I was. You know? That was the funny part.
This is called a word of knowledge. Yeah.
And she was like, how did you know that? And I'm like, the Holy Spirit told me. And so that became, me and the Holy Spirit did those moments multiple times throughout the season. And it got to the point where I would say, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit unless you want to tell me. And she would just tell me because she's like, this is pointless.
All right, okay.
Holy Spirit is literally going to reveal to my mom. And I say all that to say, in this crazy season of parenting your teenagers that are in this wild journey for independence and puberty and learning, oh, wow, this feels good, all those things, I think one of the biggest advocates that we often don't utilize is the Holy Spirit. And I am so grateful that I just had this moment with him, and that I feel like he came absolutely to my rescue. He was the comforter. He was my advocate. I mean, everything that the Bible describes the Holy Spirit to be, he was in that season. Mm-hmm. And the biggest part that is required for me is full surrender, mm-hmm. which is giving up control and fear, which is really hard when you're faced with it, which is all I was in those moments. You were in there too, but mm-hmm. you and I had different roles in that season, and it just looked different. But that's the only reason why I think we came out of that season, was that we were both willing to fully surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what you are giving people permission to do is you have to be able to say, I don't believe you.
Right.
Not you're lying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe you. Mm-hmm. Are you calling me a liar? I'm telling you about me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe you. You've said some things. This is the third time you've said it. The other two, you didn't do it. The other two, you lied to me. And now you're telling me this, and I don't believe you. And that has to be okay, because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to build a case for it. They have done whatever they did to degrade the level of trust between you and them. And they will have to do the work to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be a reality in your relationship with your teen, so that they feel the weight
yeah.
of the consequences of breaking trust.
Yeah. I think what's required for a parent there is to put down self-protection and actually show you my heart. Like, there's an impact taking place here. Which that's the invitation for our kids is, I don't believe you means you're probably protecting yourself. You're probably, after this just survive this moment and don't let him into this, don't let him see your heart fully, because that's a scary moment. But if my parent can do it, maybe there's an invitation to actually put self-protection down, which I think is what we watch with Delaney over and over again, where this girl was just this ball of self-protection. And then these moments would come where the Holy Spirit would kind of open a door and she would melt and go, okay, here I am. Which is all we really want as parents.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to feel connected to your heart, which means I have to actually wade through what's happening in your heart today.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, and the, oh my gosh, okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for parents as well, it's just a reminder, which comes back to how we started today. It's the you control you, that's it. So you also control your self-protector. You have to put that thing down and let your child kind of feel the weight that you're saying, which comes from, it's what's happening inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and staying connected as best you can. I that's why I love the love languages. That's why we use them all the time.
Yep.
Educating yourself. I think the love languages do adjust and change a little bit as they grow and mature and they find their hobbies and interests. So you might have to be able to grow and mature with them, which we've been saying this whole time, is you've got to keep growing and maturing,
mm-hmm.
growing and maturing, maturing and growing. It doesn't ever stop. But, you know, that level of connection is all that we have to pull on in this season with you're scaring me. I'm scared.
Mm-hmm.
I need some adjustment. I mean, that is gold. It's so,
yep.
so valuable. And if we don't know how to protect it or we haven't practiced it, I guess that's where I would, for parents that have a disconnected relationship, I think it is about cleaning up your mess, looking at yourself, your levels of self-control and what you believe to be true there, and then pursuing the goal of connection. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the lineup I would give you. No matter how messy it is, I think that's still the same suggestions I would give.
Yeah, and Unpunishable is a book I would recommend, and or mm-hmm. a video series on the Life Academy that we have. But learn how to let someone clean up their own mess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to do that. It's so vital. Otherwise, you feel like it's your job. It's not your job.
Yeah.
You can't. You didn't poop their pants. They poop their own pants.
Right.
They're going to have to clean it up.
Mm-hmm. And this is a, you know, wild season teens are, especially, you know, the ones that have hit puberty because they're we're just kind of practicing you becoming an adult eventually. And that's another thing that feels so terrifying. It's like, you clearly should not be an adult, but you're 18. How is this happening? You don't know how to do these things yet. And yeah, it's just, I follow this guy on Instagram and he just makes me laugh. He goes, text I got from my adult child in college. And it says, is a turkey red meat? You know, it's just like, should I take the plastic off the turkey before we cook it? I mean, they're just these funny things. You're like, yeah, they're so new. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the teen years is like, you have to realize you're in the practice phase of sending them into the world. And they're going to make lots of messes and be ridiculous in the process of learning. But doing a great job of yourself, I think, is probably the best place to.
Which is all the more reason that they need to have connection and access to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there so much waiting for them out there?
Yeah.
You're the best experts that they could access.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You and YouTube.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us on The Kylo Show. And as always, we are chasing after whole and healthy families. So all you teen parents out there, we are praying for you. Mm-hmm. Fight for connection. Clean up your messes. And don't be afraid to grow. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.